Thank you, ladies, for coming onto the mic. We're excited to have you here. Can y'all introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Sarah. She, her pronouns for the most part. I work as a freelance ghostwriter. I've been doing that for about 2-3 years, and before that I used to work a full-time employee in a similar capacity for a more corporate-ish firm.
That was so well thought out. That's just a concise, had it right. I was like, damn, I didn't know we was hanging all that. I'm Shannon. Y'all heard my voice before.
We love Shannon.
They're like, this bitch again. She, her pronoun. I'm currently at a temp position for Federal Tax Service, but I was at a corporate position for a digital ad agency as a client services rep. Started off as a receptionist there, then got promoted into client services. And I'm also a filmmaker. That's my main passion, so I'm a freelancer on the side of all of that.
Watch out for Il Nana.
Woo, woo!
So I'm Diari, she, her pronouns, and I am a manager of a program at a nonprofit that works in economic development for young males in New York City.
And then I guess for folks who don't know what I do, I just, all the shenanigans. But I work in advocacy, kind of doing like instructional advocacy work, some policy work. Really appreciate all y'all coming. I think it's going to be really nice to have a balance of voices coming from different industries, different sectors, just like things that move us. I'm really interested in hearing what brought you to the mic for this episode. I'm interested in how women of color navigate and understand politics and power within that space. What does that look like? How do you advocate for yourself? So that's what I'm interested in, like, leaning into today. And just really excited to hear all your stories and your advice for later on. I know we have folks who are freelance. I know we have structured 9-to-5, traditional, like, NGO space here. So I kind of want to hear about your experience in your different workplaces. Like, what does that look like for you navigating that as a woman of color?
Right? I feel like it really depends on the position. Like, I'm going to keep it short. Customer service, hospitality, I don't think I have to navigate much. It's mostly people of color that you're working with. It's like a natural connection, I feel like, and it's comfortable. It's like us against the boss if they happen to be a racist. And in that instance, I feel like we kind of win. And our comfort levels kind of like outshine what the fuck they want. So that's that, right? And then I feel like with freelance, the most you're gonna have to worry about is when you're gonna get paid. But for the most part, those are also chill. Like, it's usually just like a one-on-one situation. You don't really have to deal with the office setting, corporate life. And then lastly is corporate. That shit is like a fucking maze. It's fucking terrible. Like, you always have some white woman breathing down your back because for some fucking reason, yeah, like, they just cannot, like, go a day without making some person's life a living hell at work. Like, I don't even know what the fuck that's, well, I'm sure I'll get into that later. And white men is just, oh my God, you know, DRE knows. I'll leave that for DRE with these white men. Corporate, navigating that space as a woman of color, it's very scary, and they're looking for you to fuck up immediately. You never get like slap on the wrist. Like, they don't give a shit. It's like one little thing and you're just a fuck up in their eyes, and it's like I knew she was gonna mess up. But they're waiting for you to be that typical stereotypical person of color CP time and doesn't do their job and is lazy. But we're actually really hard workers, and I think that scares them.
100%. I agree. And I would say that as somebody who's like kind of climbed the corporate ladder, I've gone from being like a little bitch ass employee, mm-hmm, to now manager of 15 people, and it has really not gotten any easier for me to manage racial dynamics. Mm-hmm. I think in the beginning, like Shannon said, there's solidarity in having other people on your side. And, like, it's kind of like, fuck the manager if we're all on the same team and we're all fighting the same bullshit. But now that I'm a person of color in leadership, I'm the only one in leadership at my company. I'm kind of between a rock and a hard place. So I see all the bullshit that is clearly gender-based and racially-based. On the one hand, I try to advocate for my employees because, mm-hmm, I feel like that's my duty and my obligation as their boss, right? I'm the only woman of color. I manage the predominantly black and brown team. The other team is very, very, very white. And so my employees are looking to me to speak up. And I really think that a lot of them don't trust me because I, mm-hmm, am up there with the other managers. I am up there with the evil ass white people that run our company. And on the other end, those white people don't trust me either. They, mm-hmm, think I have some kind of agenda. They think I'm trying to be disruptive. if I mention race at all, it, you know, it kind of undermines my credibility in every other arena. And like Shannon said, they're waiting for you to fuck up, and they're waiting for you to get angry. One of my employees even said, like, you know, like, I'm a black girl from the Bronx, and I really want to learn how to do what you do, like how you just learn how to turn it on for these white people. And I'm like, it's not something I'm proud of, but to be honest, I would not have made it to where I am now if I didn't know how to, like, calm down, not go off on every white bitch that says something really rude. The white women who are my subordinates, who are, like, lower than me on the corporate food chain, still talk to me crazy. And I have to, like, reel it in and realize it's the tale is all the time. Like, we need to work harder than them, work smarter than them, speak their language. Otherwise, like, they're just going to fuck you up.
Yeah, as someone who's done the freelance and corporate thing, for me as a freelancer, I find, for the most part, it is a bit more straightforward. There's just less office politics in general, because it's me and my MacBook. I remember walking to a networking session for ghostwriters, because some guy was giving a talk, and I walk in, and immediately feel like I'm in high school student, because everyone there is 50-year-old white men, because ghostwriting is like, I'm a seasoned professional, I've written lots of books, I'll help you write your memoir. I think I struggle constantly when negotiating to negotiate for something that I think I can fairly deliver on, because I don't see myself reflected in my industry. So to not, like, buy into the imposter syndrome thing. And when it comes to corporate stuff, I think as an Asian American, the stereotypes work a little differently. I am expected to be, like, smart and, like, I don't know, obedient and good performer. But I think the way it kind of works out is I'm both expected to perform at a very high level, but also do all the grunt work. And my work is just, like, not really valued. And it's very concrete when it comes to salary. I took over more or less 60 or 80% of someone's job who was paid, like, 20% more than I was. And I got, like, a nice little pay bump, but I was still paid, like, almost half of what she was paid. And it's like, okay, yeah, I'm expected to do everything, to climb mountains, to, like, fix typos in your PowerPoint, but at the end of the day, it's not really valued.
This idea that these spaces aren't really meant for us, right? And in some ways, our entry points into these spaces, there's still a little bit of performance there that we have to put in to show our worth and make our worth. I wonder if y'all can talk a little bit more about that. Like, what did that feel like? And how do you low-key make amends with yourself? And, like, how do you check yourself? Because that shit can be draining. Even me just describing this question is draining as fuck right now.
I'm triggered.
So, I know, right? I feel like...
Oh my God.
But at the end of the day, like, these are just, like, microaggressive and low-key symbolic things that we have to contend with every day. And I want to hear about that, because those are powerful stories, right? But that's also why this shit is fucked up, right? Because it's held up by silence. So I just kind of want to hear a little bit more of that.
Oh, completely. No, if I can jump in, I want to talk about my first professional experience. I've been in the workforce for, like, 10 years now. My first, like, office job was the craziest shit, because I was working at a nonprofit. It's actually very similar to the place I'm working now. I was a very junior employee, me and this white girl. And this white girl would show up whenever she wanted. She would wear, like, little tiny summer dresses with her butt hanging out. She would, like, be stoned at work. I mean, she was truly, truly a fuck-up. This girl was protected. Like, the vice president would invite her to his barbecues. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was very clear, like, okay, let's call her Sarah. I came in every day. I came in early. I used to fill in for my superiors. I used to stay late because I didn't want clients to get kicked off their benefits. Like, I really busted my ass. And I would always get comments about my professional look. And I was really confused, because I was like, well, Sarah over there, when she does decide to show up, shows up in high heel wedges, a tiny little summer dress, like, her ass is out, her titties are out. I show up in all black, like, pants and a t-shirt, blazer, and I don't look professional. And no matter what I did, I just had one boss who would always hammer me for not looking professional enough or not behaving professionally enough. And there was a moment where one of my employees was like, you know what that means, right?
Right. Bitch, I can't change my race. Right?
Sorry.
Cannot be black.
Yeah. I kept saying, what do you think that means? What do you think that means? And then I was like, oh, shit. Like, that was my first inkling of, like, being good at your job as a black woman is not good enough.
Nope.
You need to talk their talk, walk their walk. I didn't think my clothing was particularly unprofessional. Obviously, I was, like, a very young kid, so I had, like, cheap cheap work clothes, but I didn't look even remotely like this other girl. And that thing came into my head, like what my parents said, you're always going to have to be better than them in every way. So after that, I really, a lot of you who know me will say that I'm really insecure about seeming like Molly from Insecure. She's like that corporate zombie. She code switches at work. She dresses like Olivia Pope. She has like a different air to her, and that's the character that I had to embody. Like after that job and that experience of people just accusing me of not being professional enough because of how I looked. I remember once I came in with twists and somebody said something about me not looking professional, and I was just like, all right, this is why people now have the packaged up anal retentive version of me, because like that's the way I gotta play it to be respected in the workplace. And it honestly doesn't really work. People will still accuse me of not being professional if I respond with force in a conversation. It's not, you know, professional, but the junior white girl can come in and say crazy ass shit to everybody, and it's totally fine. So it still persists, but I can't even imagine what my life would be like if I didn't learn how to just like play the white man's game, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's tough. Especially when you go in, yeah. Like, you know, it's not like that. You don't have to perform, you don't have to be the Molly, and then coming out of that experience and being like, well, this is what I have to do to survive.
Yeah.
Right.
That fucking sucks.
That's why I get sick of that. I don't know. I feel like when you see an older black woman who was in a really high up position in a corporate setting, usually people are quick to be like, oh, you got to be careful because black women don't look out for other black women in the job force and blah, blah, blah. And that's not fucking true. Like, people are so impatient. Like, there's so many like layers to this. Like what Diari said, like you gotta look out for yourself, number one, because it took you hell and back just to get to that position, number one. So when they see another black person who was in the position that they were, I'm pretty sure it freaks them out, because it's like, yeah, they want to help you, but there's gotta be a smooth way you gotta go about it. Like it's gonna be too obvious if they just go straight for it. Like it's a process, and I feel
definitely.
Like yeah, and you gotta get to know the person in that higher position. Like I knew from the jump, like in my old position, I won't say her name, but like I was like, I want to speak to her, but I didn't do it right away. And I think I was right in that. Like, as time went on, she started to reach out to me. She started to talk to me more. Like, you can't just be, because the minute that I was a little bit forceful with that, everybody noticed. Everybody noticed that I was talking to this black woman, and it became a thing. And then we just, like, telepathically knew that now we can't talk to each other for, like, a few months in front of all these white people because they're fucking crazy. They're fucking crazy.
So we should meet and talk in secret.
That secret white email. It's real.
Yes. That's in my secret black email. Surprise, surprise, right. White people. You think you're the only one out here? We talk. And that's like a fear of theirs. They want you to like them a whole lot. Like, they really want you to fuck with them. But it's like, you're not fuck-wittable. They really, like, are so insecure. That's the easiest way to get to them. Me just not even giving you attention, it kills them inside. And it was just so funny.
Yeah, I used to have this old boss who would try to, I did like speeches and stuff. He'll like deliver some really witty remark and just look at me for response. I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to smile. And I'm like, not. But like, it took me a while to realize that, well, I'm this character of like affirmation giving all the time. It is strange. I think, for me, I think of like first professional kind of experience where I sort of realized like, I have to navigate this. I worked at a company that had a strange corporate culture in a sense that people were really, you're expected to be very transparent with even your personal life, because it's supposed to feel like work is integrated with your values. It was meant to be like this holistic thing, but it was really used to kind of exploit people. Oh, so
that's what corporate sounds
like. A good practice. It was trying to be like nice corporate, but I think it's really the worst kind of corporate, people that don't realize they're corporate. But the practice was that whenever you go on vacation, you gotta tell people why. So I'd be like, oh, my mom is like really sick, I have to take care of her. It was like you expected to be transparent or if there are reasons, because it's, you know, why are you hiding something? So I'm the oldest of four and the first to go to college in this country, although my parents have college education, but this system is very different. So I played a big role in helping my younger siblings apply to college, understand like how to write essays, that's something my parents never did, all that kind of stuff. And so when one of my sisters wanted to go on a college trip and we're like, let's do a family vacation and just take a week and go, I was like, okay, I'll come along, I should be able to take time off work, we technically have unlimited vacation, you just have to collaborate with your co-workers to figure out when it's not too disruptive to do so. That's why.
That sounds like a
mess. Right? What the fuck?
I know. So the boss, who's the CEO, came up and said, like, so why are you leaving? This is like a very important like month. You know, my family, blah, blah. And he just gave me like a 30-second lecture on how I need to be a mature professional, not being like a young girl who's still like attached to the family. I don't know.
Excuse me, no, I love my family, bitch.
And you know how I need to like grow into my professional self. And I was like, this is why I didn't want to tell you. You know, this is why we have boundaries. And then fast forward as I'm about to leave, I happen to like let slip because he's trying to harass me to stay that I support my family a little bit financially. I live with them, so I gave them some money, partly for my younger siblings to go to college. And my boss, the same boss, was like, oh, why didn't you tell me that? You know, we could have maybe increased your salary because of that or something. You know, we're a family here. Yes. We care about each other. I was like,
what the fuck? Man. This ain't no cult, bitch.
So, yeah, it was a strange experience, but I think for everyone involved. But yeah, the way it played out for me was like very specific and part to my culture.
I feel like those informal structures that are low-key formal or like systems are so integral to how we move and live in these spaces, right? Like this whole performance piece, how you talk to white people who are in higher positions, how you deal with being in higher positions and having power of being a woman of color and like low-key trying to support folks on their way up as well, but like that being a thing, like how do you make place for yourself and how do you extend that to folks who you see are coming up as well?
I made a decision the minute that I went natural, and like I know it's weird, like I'm starting with hair, but the minute that I went natural and knew that I just wasn't going to change my outer look or who I was to please people, I was just like, fuck it, right? So I already had a previous corporate experience that didn't end well. They fired me. And it was because I was just too black. I was just too myself, too honest. And I was surrounded by white men. They were sensitive. So that was that. And then fast forward into this last current corporate experience when, you know, I actually navigated for the first time for a while. I was there for like 8 months. My blackness is very out there. But this time around, I learned from the previous experience. So it was more so me keeping to myself. And I thought, if I come here and I do my job and I do it really well and I go home, that should be enough. And I'll put on a face when necessary, blah, blah, blah. And then fast forward again. Everybody knows that clearly I love my blackness, but it's not scaring them yet. It starts scaring them when I get comfortable with one of the other black people. I won't say his name, but we had a very similar background. Both went to HBCUs. He's African-American, and that's like a rarity for me to find. Like, I know, like, black people are everywhere, and I get excited when any black face is around, but when they're, like, specifically African-American, I'm like, oh, like, I know exactly what to say to you for you to know what I mean by this, that, and the third. Like, you know, like, it was like we could fuck around and, like, make fun of people. And he was fearless like me, and we were very out there with our blackness. So we both noticed the woman who was higher up, and she was in production, which is what we want to do. I just didn't talk to her. Like, I remember the first time I saw her, I tried to say hello. She didn't say anything in return, and I was like, that was fucked up. And I was like, so I'm never going to speak to you again. I just kept it straight like that. And I think as time went on, she respected that I didn't bother her, but also was just like, I don't know anything about her. And that bothered her. Slowly but surely, she started making her way. Like, just started making conversation. Like, oh, what are you eating this? And making comments about, like, grits and shit. I'm like, oh, you said something about grits. So, you know, you showing me that, hey, you know, like, got, like, braids around the same time. So we were just like, you know. And just shit like that. And me just learning more and more about her. But I think when we started dealing with racial tension in the office and noticing some really crazy shit going on, because this one white girl, like, who would just never, she literally did not do anything. She would not do her job. She would sit there and do nothing all day. It was clear that our boss was, you know, kind of racist. First, we went to HR. Big fucking mistake. Don't go to HR if you're a person
never
of color.
Go to HR,
do
y'all.
Not.
Never.
They will ruin you. From that moment on, now it's about you getting fired. And you're the one with the complaint. Ain't that funny?
That's real.
But after that fucked up experience, he was trying to go to somebody else in HR again. And I was like, my nigga, no. I was like, I think we should go to what's her face. And he was just like, okay, fine. And as soon as I emailed her, she literally emailed me back like a second later. Was like, come up now. And we literally went up to her, yes, looking out, and was talking to us, everything. But then, after that meeting, you know what happened? One of the white bitches in HR noticed us coming out of their office. What did they see when they see three black people together? Oh, shit. And literally, our shit was just blown up. And he got fired after that. So, yeah, that's how it started. And, you know, once he was gone, I took a long break from talking to her. And then I slowly crept back, and I actually cried in front of her. It was a lot has happened, but we built that trust. She knew I was a softie, clearly, knew that I really wanted to work and just do my job, and knew my circumstance. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of how it formed. And even after I was done with this
this place. She still asks about me and shit because I'm really good friends with somebody that works there. And, you know, it's nice to, like, not burn bridges. Like, that's something that I really learned, regardless of the fucked up shit. You know, there's always somebody in there that's looking out, so.
I think it's so funny when white people see black and brown people come together, they get so curious. Like, I have a very similar experience at my job where, like, I created this, like, safer space for folks who are in supporting roles in our organization who are all brown. Right? Because we were working in isolation before, and, like, as soon as we started doing these, like, very casual, like, low-key check-ins, so we talk about our work and, like, how we can help each other, all this stuff, they all of a sudden think we're doing, like, a coordinator coup or something like that. It's wild, like, when we're really just out here making space for each other. And I think that's a twofold experience, right? Like, one, making alliances is so key, and you never know when, like, it'll come in handy, but it also is, like, restorative, at least for me. And then also, like, doing that as an affront to, like, all of these, like, formal and informal forces that you have to battle with that are, like, problematic and, like, super harmful, right, in this, like, HR scenario, but then also, like, symbolically violent to our existence in these spaces as a whole. So I'm wondering, like, Sarah, how do you work through, as a freelancer, going to these different environments? Like, how were you able to do that and survive? And, like, still wake up and do it again day after day?
Yeah, I mean, if there are any women of color ghostwriters who'd be willing to mentor me, that would be great. In some ways, I think it's interesting. A lot of my clients are white male executives. I do a lot of business thought leadership. In a weird way, because I'm queer and because I present more masculine, especially my professional dress, that I feel like I am afforded a kind of, like, proximity or, like, closeness that may be a little bit trickier. I'm not super sure, but I've been thinking about that versus if I came off more feminine. Just, like, the boundaries of, like, what's appropriate to share or not share kind of are a little bit less rigid because they don't see me, they don't read me in a sexual way as much, I think. And I'm clearly not trying to get that from them or what have you. Mm-hmm. So it's something I think about a lot, like, what is it that allow these, like, white men to feel like they can tell me everything and then I'll write it for them? You know, I'm doing very high-end kind of, like, personal labor. I mean, I'm not in a nail salon, but basically I am just, like, serving their ideas and giving a platform, and they love that kind of, like, support and attention. And sometimes it goes a little too far, I think.
Sarah, you're helping bringing stories to life for these people who don't come from the same voice that you do, but here you are, like, turning their shit into magic, right? Shannon, you're out here making sure the work is done, and it's not necessarily the work that you want to do, but when it does come to the work that you want to do, you have to, like, navigate through additional bullshit, right? But still making that bullshit shine. And Diari, I think you're in the same position where, like, you care about this work and you care more for the folks who you see are, like, the foot soldiers of this work, and making sure that, like, the environment that you're carrying the space for them is working and vibrant and supportive enough for that. But that is some emotional labor that you're doing. So I wonder if y'all could talk a little bit about what that costs you, like.
It's fucking exhausting.
Yes.
Because, like, low-key, I'm not your mom, and I don't want to fucking talk to you for an hour a week. Like, that's a lot of people. It's going to sound crazy, but I feel like it's my moral duty. Like, just on a level that's bigger than me, I feel like I've been given the unique opportunity at this company that probably no black woman will ever get up and claim again because they're sick of my ass, but it's just like, it's an emotional tax that I have to pay for being a black woman in leadership, I feel
It fucking is, and it's like on both ends, like, I will go hard as fuck for people of color in the workspace, like, that emotional labor can become a lot too, and not even just for people of color, people that I genuinely like and I know are looking out for me, I'll definitely look out for them 100%. That can be tiring, but when you like them, it's not hard to tell them, like, you know, I need my time. They usually will understand. But the emotional labor for, like, white people that people of color have to deal with, it's fucking ridiculous because they do want a mom. They literally want a mother. They need somebody to wipe their ass all the time. They need somebody.
Servant, yes. Mom, yes. Everything combined.
Yeah, and they get off on that shit. Like, I know that I could be successful in corporate. I know if I just straightened my hair and I smiled all the time and I gave them what they wanted and took pleasure in feeling, because I could do that. I could feel their joy when I do all these good things for them and they would just love it, and I would be just like, move on up the ladder and shit with my nice little white person hair. You know, I could do that shit. But fuck that. Like, I'm not going to give them the satisfaction because you don't fucking deserve this. And you're just disgusting. Take care of yourself. Why am I stronger than you, but you have more than me? It, you know, it's fucking crazy. So
yeah. I'm curious why you picks up on what you said a couple, 5 minutes ago about why they want our affirmation. Is it like guilt? Like, what do you feel like they're looking for from this attention? Like, specifically from people of color.
Oh my god. Validation. Why people always want to know that they're a guy?
Yes.
That's what I was thinking as well.
At my job, I get undermined so much by my equals. Like, white men who are literally my equal will treat me like I'm their secretary. They know they said something that crossed the line. They want to make sure we're good, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not about me. It's not about making sure they didn't offend me. Like, for example, let me tell this crazy ass story. We are interviewing for a new director at our job. One of the candidates was a black woman, and for some reason, the feedback about her was, ugh. Even you would be more qualified than her. Okay. That did not come up with any of the other candidates except the black woman.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I could not hide my rage. I said in this meeting, I'm going to let you look stupid and try to explain what you meant by that. I'm not sure why that has anything to do with me. And for the next month, it all became about, you really hurt his feelings.
Oh my god.
I really want to make sure things are okay. And I was like, he insulted the fuck out of
me. Yes, are you 5? Oh my god. It's like, you were able to put your mouth together to say some wild shit like that, and you don't understand. Yes. Your feelings are hurt? Bitch, stop.
Right.
Like, that's some evil psychotic shit.
That, yeah. And this guy will say stuff like that to me constantly, and whenever I get mad, it turns into like, well, you know how he is. How do we make him feel better about being a fucked up white guy? It's just really crazy how whenever, like, they do some wild offensive shit to you, it, at the end of the day, it's like, let's make sure the white people feel okay about it so that we don't have issues in the office. The black people have to just swallow what happens. No. Or the brown people, everyone else has to swallow it.
Right.
But let's please God not. Let's make sure the white man feels like he's still the good guy. It just drives me crazy because it's never about how they're hurting you.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I forget. I'm like, I have a master's. You're like, oh, wait, I don't have to deal with it. But they'll be too paid. So as we round out, I'm wondering if y'all could share some advice for folks, lessons you've learned from, or it was just advice that was given to you by someone who was helping you along the way.
Yeah, I think for advice, I would say, especially if you're in corporate, like, be careful all the time. Like, I don't know. When you're in corporate, live a double life. That's what I say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, keep all of your, like, you're pro-black, keep that shit under wraps, okay? But, you know, if you want to look pro-black, cool, but do your job and keep to yourself.
There's work you, and then there's real after-hours you.
Yeah. You don't owe people yourself.
Oh,
yeah. You don't owe
that again.
You don't owe them your, like, extra, like, social labor, emotional labor, mental labor, explaining things to them. It would be great if they get it, you know, obviously, but... Like, it's not on you to do them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say, don't compromise your values. Like, I know that goes against almost everything I just said. I think there's a way to play along without compromising who you are as a person.
There's subtle ways, like subtle windows of opportunity that I've been trying, at least through ghostwriting. A lot of work I do is around organizational leadership and culture. So it's like two business people on how to, you know, operate their workplaces. So I'm working with a couple of leadership coaches, and someone made a comment on Facebook or somewhere about how, like, leadership is like a very white male, like, thing, that in terms of how we think about what leadership is. And it was a moment I was like, I'm writing this leadership book, and I even sent an email to my two clients like, we need to have people of color, we need to have more women as characters. So it's a leadership fable in here, because people are going to read this and then hold other people accountable as to what they think leadership should look like. Oh, a change happens and stuff like that. But it's very tricky to figure out. A lot of the business literature is very self-help oriented. Like, you can do it as an individual, just change your mindset. And then you have these, like, systemic realities and how to navigate that. So it's really helpful to hear everyone talk about how they try to do both.
Yeah. I say, like, if you do need to check somebody, ground it in the work.
Yeah.
So then it don't come back to you as an employee. Like, if you can have your receipts grounded in the actual work, like, then they can't check you and you're safe. Always think about your place and never question your stability. I think it's like a very fragile place for us to think about like cementing ourselves or rooting ourselves in whatever power structure there is, because you're never safe and you're always up at the auction. So be mindful of that. Be wary of that. Also, seek out other folks of color. Like, I cannot tell you how many great people I've met along the way who, like, I'm so connected. Like, Shannon and I met through grad school, but also through our work. And I feel like I've just grown and learned so much more about her, about myself, and, like, how I like to work and stuff like that. So, like, always look for opportunities around you, but always check yourself. Don't get too comfortable.
Yeah, never get too comfortable.
And don't let them see you get too comfortable.
Oh, yes. They can't see you looking comfortable ever. You have to look like you're sweating, like you've been fucking in a factory.
A very concrete tip. I used to do, if you have Outlook, you can schedule your emails to be sent at a certain time. To look like I was in the office long ago, I would schedule for the email to be sent after it already left the office, so it looked like I was working that full time.
Okay, pro tip.
I mean, it's real. It's just like, it's an image game. You gotta play it. Like, I work faster than everyone else. I don't want to turn in my work first thing, because then it seems like, oh, she did it first, I'll give her more work. Mm-hmm. It's like, no. I'm gonna put this 1 hour after I've done this, so I don't get stuffed with more work. I mean, it depends on the game you're trying to play, but...
So I always ask this question at every episode. Do you have anything you want to say to the people? If it's something I haven't asked you, it doesn't have to relate to the episode at hand, but just like other things, I just like to do a little mic check.
I will say, especially in your 20s, no job is worth your sanity or your like mental health and all that self-care. It's really important. So don't be afraid to like move on from a job. Like, I know bills got to be paid, but honestly... when you really just let go of everything and you feel that freedom and relief, things just start to fall into place. Yeah. And if they were in the wrong... I don't know. I believe in karma, and I believe that things happen in the way they're supposed to for certain situations and energies and all that. And if you have to dip from a spot, there's a reason for that, and something greater, I think, will come along. Or at least you'll have your sanity. So.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I would say to talk about money very explicitly in the workplace. I think lack of salary transparency perpetuates a lot of inequities. So if your coworker is doing the same thing as making more than you, he should know that he's making more than you, so he feels embarrassed about it. And if you are making more than someone else and you find out, like, then you can then speak up perhaps on behalf of that person. Like, hey, this person should be paid more compared to what I make. You know, it's part of how, like, the capitalists sort of keep us divided, is they don't know how much they're, like, treating us and dividing us.
Yeah, and I just want to kind of reiterate something Shannon said. Never, ever go to HR, ever.
No.
HR is not your friend. They're the company's friend, okay? Mm-hmm. It will only bite you in the ass. And I know that people are going to have an issue with that advice, but it has never served anyone that I have seen to ever go to HR about something.
Especially if you're a person of color.
Yeah.
Then they're going to try to fire you. Right. Like, they're going to get you out of there.
It's so much harder to prove that someone is a racist toy than it is to prove anything else. And honestly, that kind of thing really follows. The cards are not in your favor. So.
They really are.
But you can still do great things.
Just don't go to HR. Do not get, you go to HR,
if you get anything from this,
do not. No.
Just be creative in your revenge.
Yeah, exactly.
I think mine is to just remember that once you get to liberation, your job is also to liberate other people. So remember to keep looking out.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's it for our conversation. It was so great to have y'all on.
Thank you, Linda.
Yeah, thanks.
This is fun.
#HR.
The liquor store got some Skittles and some Crown Royal. I know we ended things a week ago.